For that, if they do it with grief, that's unprofitable for you. Now, whatever you think that this verse does not mean, it does mean something. I know many are, they read this verse and they're opposed to how some people take a look at this and say almost that, well, it seems as though you're trying to say that a pastor holds something over the head of God's people, almost like in Mormonism, if the man doesn't call for his wife out of the resurrection, then she doesn't get resurrected. Ladies, could you understand holding that kind of a relationship with a husband that could maybe not resurrect you? Hey, you better straighten up, or I'm not going to call for your resurrection. Goodness, having that, over. Well, and that's almost like, some people take this. That's not what it means, and that's not what we're talking about here. But it does mean something. It means some things that we're going to look at and we're going to ask the Lord for. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Let's stop right here and ask the Lord's blessings and get into the message. Lord, thank you so much for this, your word. And though I was planning on preaching other things tonight, this is fresh in my mind and just what took place yesterday. Lord, I was grateful to be there at this service, and it just made me think of so many things that are so pertinent to any member, any church, and important to us here at Wooden Valley Baptist. And so, Lord, I pray that you help us these next few moments to deal with some things that would be a blessing to help us to become exemplary members of Wooden Valley Baptist Church. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. So what does this verse say or mean? Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, and so on. Well, first, one thing you can get, and this is not what the message is about, but you do find the believer's place in this church dispensation that we live in. The believer's place, the believer's position should be under the shepherding care of a pastor. Doesn't it say? Them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. That is exactly what it says. Now, let me say this. If you're not a member of a church, nobody has a spiritual rule over you. If you're not a member of a church that has a pastor who is overseer, shepherd, and proclaimer of the Word of God, because that's the context that he's talking about, is it within the context of a local church, says, obey them that have the... Well, who has the rule over you? All believers are the same, and we all, the foot of the ground at the cross is level, and that's true. And so nobody has anything over anybody. Nobody's submitted to anybody else if you're not a member of a church, the church that Jesus established and that he taught to continue. So the believer's place... The New Testament position of a believer is that he is a member of a church that has a shepherd. That shepherd who has the care of those in that church. Hebrews 13:7, and you can just jot these down if you want, or just listen, and I'll go through a few scriptures that kind of emphasize these things. Hebrews 13:7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. There's so many things in that verse. This says that you're to be a part of a church and have someone who is a spiritual overseer over you, somebody that has the rule over you, the same one that speaks unto you the word of God. That's what it says, that teaches the Bible. 1 Peter 5:1, as Peter's speaking to elders or pastors in the churches there in that area, he says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. So he's talking to the elders or the pastors there, not just old men, verse 5 and so on. He just talks about elder and younger. But here he's talking about the position, office, the office of the church, the elder. And he says here to that person who is the pastor or the elder, verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye, that is the under-shepherds, shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So the chief shepherd is Jesus, of course. The under shepherd, that's what you would call me, or a pastor of a church. And I'm not the shepherd of this church. I'm the under shepherd, or the one that is placed there by God, as it says here, the one who has the oversight in that congregation. And he's to feed the flock. He's to teach the word of God. Acts chapter 20, verse number 17. Here's where Paul called the elders in that area because he's leaving the last time. And he says, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Go down to verse number 20. He says this, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. That was one of the job of the pastors. And he was telling the pastors, this is what you're supposed to do to your congregations, to your people. You are to give whatever it is that is profitable. Now, like for instance, this thing that I'm telling you right now, this subject, some might say, that's pretty presumptuous of you, pastor, to be talking about the position of... Listen, if it's in there and if it's going to be profitable for you, I'm supposed to bring it. I'm supposed to... If it's the Bible and if it's profitable, I'm not going to hold it back. And that's what he's saying. I know a pastor who... never taught about tithing, never taught about anything about what God said. And then his member went to Bible college and heard, for the first time heard about this tithing thing. What is this tithing? You know? And he called back, says, Pastor, what is this tithing? They're teaching heresy out here. He says, no, that's right. Tithing is in the Bible. And he says, why did you never teach us that? He said, well, because I would, you know, sometimes, you know, in the abuses that are out there, then I don't teach about money because I don't want people to be taking it wrong. Robbing him of a blessing by not teaching something because, oh, you would take it wrong? Hey, if it's going to be profitable, then it should be taught, just like these things. If they're Bible, then, and that's what Paul is saying to the elders. He says, listen, this is what I did to you, the example that I gave you. As he says, I kept back nothing that was profitable to you, but have taught you. Verse 27 of that chapter, Acts 20, 27. For I have not shunned to declare. Shun means keep away from. He says, I didn't hold back. I did not shun to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. So he says, hey, the thing that the pastor should do is preach it all. Teach it all. It's to teach the whole counsel of God, everything, because it's going to be profitable to you. I remember listening to this seminar once, not too long ago, which in the mega church now situation where churches grow and you get they're a mile wide and an inch deep. That's as about shallow as they are. But you know, they just deal with certain things. Here's a pastor that was trying to teach other pastors. This is how you do it. Since you only have them for 40 minutes, you know, 30 minutes a Sunday, 30 minutes a week, then you can't teach the whole thing. What you got to do is you got to be selective and just take some things out and then leave the rest. And so you decide what to bring and what not to bring. That's not Bible, folks. That is not what the Word of God says. It says you're to teach the whole counsel of God, everything. What does he say there? I've taught you publicly, and he says, you need to do what I've done to declare the whole counsel of God. Feed the church of God with everything. Listen, folks, with four services in the week, you got Sunday school, you got church, you got evening church on Sunday, that's three, and then once during the midweek or whenever, that's four. Sometimes there's Bible study, whatever. It's hard enough to try to spread and get everything in the Word of God, but the Bible says you're to teach it all. You don't have to be selective and just whatever you decide. No, teach the whole counsel of God, everything. That's what Paul said. That was the job of the pastor, to be the overseer and to feed the church. So the believer in this age is to be a vital part of the member of the church that Jesus established. He's to have a pastor to whom he is to submit to for leadership, for example, for bringing the word of God and general oversight of the church. Each saint must voluntarily submit himself. That's the only way that this works. I can't say, hey, I'm the pastor, you need to submit. No. This is something where a member says, you know what? I understand that's my place, and so I'm to submit myself to the leadership and the example and the oversight of the pastor of that church. So here in our text, Hebrews 13, 17, you understand the believer's place or his position. Let's look at the believer's disposition. What's your attitude toward the church, toward the pastor, toward others in the church? Well, here in this passage in Hebrews 13, 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. His disposition should be that he's heeding, that he's submissive, that he or she should be regarding the example and loving relationship to his pastor. Hebrews 13, 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves. Understanding that the pastor cares for the well-being of the sheep, it's not difficult to appreciate that role. If you understand that he's there for your blessing, for my blessing, so that we can grow, so that we can learn and grow and mature. That's what the Bible says. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Yeah, sometimes it's admonishment. Sometimes it's encouragement. Sometimes it's, man, this is great. Isn't what great to see what God's done through us? And man, what a blessing. Let's go on. Or sometimes it's, hey, it's not right for us to have this kind of attitude or that kind of attitude. Like a couple weeks ago when I had to deal with attitude of, you know, our respect of the Word of God in services. It has to be dealt with every once in a while. It's not fun to get admonished, is it? But, hey, that's part of it. It says, know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. So that's the attitude that we're supposed to have towards the pastor, is to esteem them very highly in love. Philippians 2:29, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Now, this goes for, folks, this goes for any servant who sacrifices for the well-being of other members, not just a pastor, but anybody that's going to be a minister, anybody that's going to help you in your spiritual walk. He says, hold such in reputation. 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule well, again, elder meaning pastor, the position or the office of a pastor, two offices in a New Testament church, pastor and deacon, the pastor or the elder or the bishop or the overseer, they're all titles, different titles for the same office. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the labor is worthy of his reward. So here it says you're supposed to honor that person. Honor that, in the context, by the way, is pay. It's talking about pay. But also, it's in the main part of what he's talking about is the position of respect. Now, if the pastor doesn't rule well, then there's no obligation of this double honor, is there? But if it's a pastor that does his job, supposed to do what he's doing, and does well in doing that, then that's where this applies. So anyway, getting back to Brother Doolam, I'm giving this testimony, and I'm trying to wrap up the life of Brother Doolam in a few sentences. And I was able to really, Brother Tom wasn't there to hear me. Like I say, I don't know if he could actually hear me from heaven looking down over the banister saying, thank you, preacher, that's pretty good. Except he probably has his vocal cords now. But anyway, you know, it was, I'm not saying this for him. He wasn't there. He wasn't listening. I was just telling everybody with a smile on my face, with the ability to be able to say that man was a blessing to Wooden Valley Baptist Church. A pastor would love 100 more Tom Doolams, Donna Doolams. And I started thinking, why was Brother Doolam such a great member? Why is anybody an exemplary member if they are? For Brother Doolam, let me just share, if it be okay, you know, just humor me just for a few minutes to tell you why I think Brother Tom was a great member. I remember the first time that he came, he joined. And he sat down, kind of like with some others that sat down with me before they joined and wanted to find out what this church stood for, where they stood here and here and here, whatever. And so I explained to him a little bit of the church's stance and about myself, about my family, whatever. And so, okay, this is, so you get a good picture of this church. He joined, he says, okay, that's a good church. He's in the area, he's moved here, and he wants to, hi, Pam, how you doing? Good to see you. I didn't notice that you were here until just now. another member there that we could talk about. So anyway, so he sat down and he listened to everything that we had to say there. So when it was all said and done, he said this. He said, "Preacher, I agree with everything around here, your stand and everything else, but I don't agree with your stand on the Lord's Supper." He said, I don't agree with that. I don't think that's right. And I said, I remember telling him at that point, I said, "By the time we're going to be going through this," that's when we're doing this year by year, so just about every year we did. Anymore, we just do it now every 5 or 6 years, but those that come in, they get that teaching. But anyway, so we were going to be going through this, and so he says, "I don't agree with that." And this is what I told him. I said, "Brother Tom, that's fine. I don't require anybody to think like I do. You don't just hang up your brain at the door when you come in here at Wooden Valley Baptist Church. What I do require you to do is consider what the Bible says. When we teach something, when we preach it, when we go over it, look at what the Bible says and see then whether you agree or don't agree, and then we'll talk about it." He goes, "Okay, I'll do that." When I at that point, he let me know he didn't agree with my position on the Lord's Supper. He wasn't divisive about it. Although, I'm just going to share him with you, I braced myself, you know, for maybe some trouble or whatever, whenever we're going to deal with this. When I got around to teaching it, he listened and all. After that, he came to me. I'll never forget this. He came to me, and I'm ready, man. I got my boxing gloves on. All right, let's go at it. What do you think? He said, "Preacher, I never heard that. Nobody ever taught me that before. As a matter of fact, it was the Bible. You show every step of the way. You opened up the scripture and says, see, this is where this applies, and this is where this." And he says, it's Bible. All of that's Bible. You know what he said? "I believe it." And I thought to myself, what a great member is the Word of God is what we're to all submit to. Amen. Me and you both. That's it. That's it. And I thought, man, that's one of the reasons why that man was a great member, an exemplary member, because of his submission to the Scripture. I think Brother Doolin was an exemplary member because he utilized his church. He used his pastor. Donna was sick. Donna had like a chronic illness. She always had, you know, medical problems, and she was always struggling with something. And by the way, not a complainer. You'd never hear her complain about nothing. She just served and served with a zip lip, and she was just, I'm telling you, one of the best Christians you ever want to know. But she did struggle with a chronic illness. Till finally one day she came to me and she said, well, actually she came to Tom, and Tom came to me and said, "Pastor, could we call for the elders of the church and pray over her, as the Bible says, anointing her with oil," that passage in James. "Can we do that?" James 5:14, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. And if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." What a great passage of Scripture. So many things in there. But it's talking about healing and talking about getting healing from God by asking the elders to pray. And so they asked if we could do that. So we got the deacons together, we and myself, and we prayed over Donna, right over here. It was in the first row. And we prayed for her. And we asked God to touch her and asked God to help her and brought it up to the Lord. But before we did that, she stopped us and she said, now, Pastor, the Bible says that we're supposed to confess our sins, you know, so we can be healed. So let me tell you, just sit down. There's some things that I need to fess up to. And so I'm going, hang on, Donna, that this is not, my collar's not backwards, and we don't have a booth where you go in, and, you know, if you were Catholic and you had a priest that you confessed to, you know what I'm talking about. That's not what we're talking about here. And she says, no, this is what the Bible says. And so I just feel like, I just want to make it very plain and clear, and this is where I'm at. So there, if I'm wrong in any of this, I want you to be able to tell me so that I can be free of that and get healing. I want healing from God. And so then she began to talk about her family and some of the things in her own family and some things that went awry. And, you know, after she laid it all out, I said, you know, Donna, you have nothing to be ashamed of here. You have done what you've always known to do that would honor the Lord, and you have done that, and there's nothing that you need to worry about. I don't believe there's any of this that you need to worry like it's going to hinder you because there's some sin that's making you sick. That's not it at all. But thank you for thinking about that. And then we prayed. And I thought to myself, what a wonderful saint. Just wants to make sure everything's gone and out of the way because I want to hold to Scripture. And so, but what I'm saying is, Brother Tom and Donna used their church and their pastor for prayer, for counsel, for fellowship, for rebuke. And sometimes it went both ways. Sometimes Brother Tom would come to me and say, now, preacher, I don't think this is right because this. And you know what? Whenever he'd say that, I'd sit down and listen to him. Because he was a man of wisdom and he followed the Scripture. And if I'm going to be someone who's not a fool, I'm going to be paying attention to saints that way. But Tom and Donna, they used their church. Folks, use your church. Really, use your church. Just recently, I heard of one of our teenagers going awry and coming up with some situations way out in left field. You want to know something? Not a one of us was ever counseled about going that direction. Nobody. Nobody ever came to me or to the Sunday school teacher or anybody around Wooden Valley and say, I think this is right or wrong. What do you think? No counsel sought. None. You know, that's not biblical. You know what God's given you a church for? So you can have a church, so you can have counselors, so you can have friends, and you can have others that would encourage you and able to rebuke one another if that be the case. I think Brother Doolin and his wife were exemplary members because they utilized their church. I think Brother Doolin was an exemplary member because he didn't allow small things to rob him of a blessing. I think it would be okay for me to say this because I don't, this is water under the bridge and it's gone and all, but in building this building, the drywaller was Mike Kilgard, and Mike and Tom didn't see things always eye to eye. You know, they had a difference of opinion when it had to professional matters or, you know, that kind of thing, business matters. So Tom would frame up the building and Mike would drywall it. And the ceiling here, by the way, if you notice, this is one of the best ceilings anywhere because, you know, there's no cracks, there's no anything in the whole thing, and it's smooth. Sometimes you see the popcorn ceiling. This is not a popcorn ceiling. It's smooth, and that's ideal. All right, stop pointing out stuff. Anyway, it's old, okay? It's 20 years old already. Brother Mike was a great drywaller. Well, this building, if you notice that ceiling, which, by the way, from here to the peak there, inside is 27 foot or something like that. It's way up there. This was where the back of the auditorium was. See this line here? And some of you wondering what that is? That was Sunday school rooms that were built out over here and then a hallway to the door. So the auditorium was smaller, about a third, when it was first built. And the reason why we did that was when we grew and needed more room for the auditorium, then we could just take these rooms out and not have to rebuild everything. You know, it was a good idea, a good plan. It came from not me or us, but from where we got the plans from, and it worked. But anyway, so here were Sunday school rooms that came up, 16, 18 feet, kind of like back here. That was about the size of those. And it went up only that far, so it didn't reach the ceiling. Well, at first, you know, Tom didn't understand what we were after, what I was after as far as that goes. He built the frame of building the wall straight up and tied into the trusses on the roof. And so, I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. And it wasn't a bearing roof, but nonetheless, that's what you're supposed to do. So he did that. He built it straight up. Well, when Mike got here and he was about to drywall the thing, he says, well, wait a minute, preacher. You don't want the thing to be there, because when you break that out, you're going to have to redo the ceiling, and then you're going to have marks and everything else, and it's going to be all choppy and all that kind of stuff. So what you want is you want the ceiling to go all the way. And since it's not bearing wall, you can get those up, 16, 18 feet, and then go right back just like that and not touch the ceiling. So we dealt with, there's a lot of, let me just fast forward, okay? Because the inspector was involved and everybody was involved about what we had to do, what needed to be done, what, this and that. So anyway, when I learned of the whole thing, okay, one wants to do it this way, one wants to do it that way, we said, okay, let's save us a bunch of work and take it off the ceiling and just get it so high so when we do increase, we won't have to touch the ceiling. And that's what we did. So we took it down. Well, oh boy, sparks between one worker and another worker. And at that point, Brother Tom got so mad. He didn't see eye to eye with Brother Mike and other workers. He felt slighted, and there's some other things that happen. He gathered his tools, and he was leaving. I mean, I remember coming into work that day, and he was mad, and he was upset, and it was all over with. It was all over with. I'm leaving, and I think maybe some of that was my fault because I was the leader, the one that was supposed to call the shots, and didn't do it exactly properly. Anyway, so I had some to blame on that. And so he was leaving and says, well, no, And so I went to him and I said, Brother Tom, for the sake of the project and everything else, could you just hang on? Could you just endure? Can you work together with Mike? Because Mike and Tom were the ones that were having the difficulties. Well, I asked Brother Tom to get over it, if he could. And he did. He did get over it. He decided, and I remember him coming to, he was still mad. He says, Preacher, I don't agree, but you're right. And it's something foolish. And so I'm just going to overlook that. Just going to finish this. And I was really worried that he's going to be leaving the church. But he didn't, and he did get over it. And when it was all said and done, it all worked out right and good and to the best. And Brother Tom was a member from that point on to years afterwards and continued to be a tremendous blessing. Matter of fact, when we did build these rooms out here, he was the one that took care of that also, and the stairs that go up there. He did a great job, just did a wonderful, wonderful job. He saw the work of God at that point to be bigger than the small differences between members. He was glad that he overcame that. Let me tell you something. I was glad that he overcame that also. I really, really was. He was really glad that he stayed. We all were glad. And like I say, last year when we had this fellowship, it was the sweetest fellowship any former member had with their pastor. It was a wonderful, wonderful thing to kind of go over and think of this and think of that. Let me ask you something. What small offense is going to knock you out of joy? Out of the service of the Lord? Out of the place of blessing for you and your wife because pride or your nose gets bent out of shape or something happens and you really? You're going to allow a disagreement to get in the way of God blessing you and your family and your kids and maybe grandkids for years and years, maybe generations? You're going to, really? You're going to do that? When I was first married as a young man, Kathy and I got into this row. And it was a knockdown drag out. You say, oh, preacher, you weren't around. we did. It was a knockdown drag out. I remember me and her had a problem and butt heads, and one goes this way, one goes this way, and I'm steaming, I'm fuming, I'm just being honest with you guys, folks. This is what happened. I'm fuming. And Kathy comes in with her hat in her hands and says, you know what? This is not worth us messing up things. Amen. there's something bigger than this petty difference. What petty difference? No, he was right. You know what? I should have been the one that swallowed it and went to her and said that, and it rebuked me, because she was right. She was so right. And I remember, and you know what? That was so many years ago, I don't even remember what we argued about. It was that important, you know? I remember the argument. I don't remember what it was that we argued about. You know why? Because it was a small nothing. It was, hey, folks, you know what? There's small nothings all over the place. They're not as big as the work of God and the plan of God in your life and for other people around you. What do you, come on, wake up. Wake up. I think Tom was an exemplary member because he didn't allow small things to rob him of a blessing in the long run. I think Tom was an exemplary member because he forgave his pastor. That means he had something to forgive his pastor for. Say, preacher, what did you do? None of your business. No, I. Over the years, there's probably lots of things that I don't probably even remember. This could be related to that issue there where I didn't play the best leader that I should have. I could take the blame for poor leadership there. But believe it or not, your pastor is flawed. And you know what? The person you're sitting across from the other pew and the other sides, they're all flawed. Everybody. I'm looking at a bunch of flawed people. Everybody. Now, let's not go ahead and display it over on the screen here. Let's just acknowledge that, and let's go on. But your pastor is flawed, very flawed. Sooner or later, you're going to have to forgive me because of my failures, or because I let you down, or because I can't help you or fix you or any number of things that is important to you. Tom was able to have a long life, a useful service to the Lord, because he determined that he was going to forgive me or anybody else as needed. You have got to determine. Listen, you have to determine that you will forgive or you're not going to make it. You're going to be hurt. You're going to be sidelined. You're going to be wounded. Great members forgive others. Why was Brother Doolum an exemplary member? Well, because of his submission to Scripture, because he utilizes his church, because he didn't allow small things to rob him of a blessing, because he learned to forgive his pastor and others. And this is the last point, because he was used to the hilt. Died at 81, in his 70s when he built his last church. It's that new sanctuary for Friendship Baptist Church in Prosser. Now, folks, everybody there, in their testimony, they all got up and they said, we thank God for Tom Doolum, and they love that church. It's not quite the size of this sanctuary, but it looks just like it. It looks just like it. It's got the same platform and everything. It's a little smaller. And they say, this is the prettiest church in this whole county, and we thank God for Tom Doolum. He was a tremendous, tremendous blessing to that church. In his 70s, he did that. I want to be used till I go home. You know, you can be used until you go home. Let me say, one of the greatest blessings of Wooden Valley Baptist Church today are our senior saints who accomplish so much around here, a whole lot more than you even know. They might have the time, or they've certainly got the wisdom. Many of them have a pleasant disposition. Not all of them, but... But, you know, I'm serious, though. They do have a pleasant disposition and love for the Lord. What a blessing. What a help. You know, and I'd embarrass them right now if I brought them up to the platform and say, so-and-so did this, and so-and-so polishes that, and so-and-so fixes this, and so-and-so cleans up this, and provides this, and provides that. What a blessing. Folks, you want to know what I want to do? I want to be a senior who is used till I go home. And that was Tom Doolum. Yeah, Brother Doolum was an exemplary member. He was an exemplary member because an exemplary member is faithful to the church services. Should I say that one again? an exemplary member is faithful to all the church services. Some people, they rejoice if there's an excuse that will get them out of church. Oh, well, I can't go to church. Got something, an excuse. And you know what? Others are, oh, man, I want to be in church. You know what an exemplary member is? Somebody who is there for all the services. That's what an exemplary member is. An exemplary member is one who centers his life, his family, around the church. That is, you get the church calendar once in a year, and you look that thing over and say, okay, this is where camp is. We're going to make that. This is where this revival is. Let's make sure we're around. This is what's going on here. This is this time in my life where God's going to use this in my life, hopefully. And you know what? You center your life around what the Lord will help you and do you, mature you through his church. That's an exemplary member. An exemplary member recognizes that God is the source of the blessings of his life. And you get away from God, you're also getting away from blessings. That's just the way it is. An exemplary member is one who is a joy and a refreshment to the pastor and to the church when possible. So I said that the Bible does say that pastors will be asked for a reference for the members of the church that they pastor. Our text tonight, Hebrews 13:17, as we close, the Bible says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Well, I did that yesterday for Tom Doolam. I gave a testimony. I gave an accounting for the life of Tom Doolam when he was a member at Wooden Valley Baptist Church, and I did it with joy. I'm telling you, folks, I did it with joy. I was able to look back and say, thank God for such a member. You know who the beneficiary to that kind of a positive testimony was? That's Tom Doolam. Not because of what I said, but because of what he lived. Because of living that way. See, because the Lord can tell Tom, now, Tom, I've commanded you to submit, to follow, to heed the word preached, to support your church and your pastor, to love your church. And you did that. You were thus a blessing to Wooden Valley Baptist Church. Here's your reward. He's the one that is the beneficiary of living that way. See, it's profitable for you to heed the warnings of an obedient pastor, to follow the teaching of the Word of God, to do your part to promote a vibrant, loving New Testament church in such a dark time. Who's going to benefit from that? You. You will benefit here. And before the Lord, when you give account of yourself, and as I'll be asked to report concerning the membership of Wooden Valley Baptist Church, just like any captain or any sergeant must give for the men under their command. Hey, give account for your troops. Live such as an accounting of your labor, choices, and life will be profitable to you. See, there's two very different reviews of the believer. He says that this might happen when you stand before him either with joy or with grief. You know what grief means? You know, your life is reviewed. Oh. You didn't do. You didn't follow direction. You weren't paying attention. You went your own way. You didn't get the blessings. That's a grief. Or, like the testimony I had about Tom yesterday. What a blessing. Wish I had 100 Tom Doolams. So, it's either a joy or it's a grief for you. Let's live in such a way till we end up with joy. How about it? Every head bowed. Lord, thank you so much for this, your word. I pray that you help us to gain from the example of a Christian who is now with you. It's over.